Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Hey, welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show today. Love that we have such a great following here. I appreciate all those that have been with us and been loyal to us, and those that keep learning and give me feedback and tell me about what big ahas you get from these shows. So I really love it. I respect it. And thank you so much. You know, be sure to check out our website, moneyripples.com. Be sure to check out the free blogs and the other podcasts that we have that are on both on iTunes as well as Block Talk Radio. And be sure also to just really pay us a visit, you know, ask questions, you know, come to our events, things like that. We give you such great value in those things. If you think you're getting great value from these 20-minute shows, boy, wait until we get, do some really good stuff here. All right, so today I want to talk about, what does a billionaire's ex-wife say about becoming a billionaire? You know, what is that secret that she's seen, where she's seen the thick and the thin? She didn't just see the success. She was a part of the success. What does it really take? Not just becoming a millionaire. We talk about that a lot. But what about a billionaire? Is it really much different? You know, obviously the mindset is quite a bit different than becoming a millionaire. You'll learn this pretty quick. But at the same time, is it really that far out of reach? And whether we become a billionaire or not, what can we learn from this to apply in our own lives? So I want to talk about, you know, Elon Musk. For those of you who know Elon Musk is, he was the founder of PayPal. Many of you probably have heard of that. If you haven't heard of that, he's also the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. So if you've ever heard of the Tesla cars that are getting a lot of fame today and things like that, this is Elon Musk, who's the entrepreneur behind that, the billionaire behind that. He's actually worth about $12.1 billion currently. So he's not just a billionaire. He's way up there. In fact, even to be on the top 400 or 500 list of the Forbes richest people in the world, you usually have to have a net worth of at least about $1.5 billion to even show up on that list. So this guy's at $12.1 billion. He's one of the top guys up there. Now, his wife, or I should say his ex-wife, his first wife, Justine Musk, she's actually his first, and I think his second wife or third wife. They actually remarried. Justine Musk, she was in an interview recently with a certain news source called Quora. And in this Quora thread, they asked her, or she actually posted a response to their thread, saying, and this is what she said, quote, "Will I become a billionaire? I am determined to be one. To be one and put in all the necessary work required." Basically, what she's asking is, you know, can she become a billionaire just by deciding to be a billionaire and then putting all the necessary work required? Her answer, no. And then, of course, she also said that the core reader is asking the wrong question. And so she then continues to say, why? So I think it's interesting. She says, no, if you decide to become a billionaire just by deciding, you won't become one. Also, if you're putting in all the work required to become one, that won't be it either. So she's saying, just because you're determined to become one, just because you want to put in the hard work, does not mean you will become a billionaire. Well, sorry. So here's what she expounds on, because she starts to elaborate further as to what that really means. She says, you're determined. So what? You haven't been racing naked through shark-infested waters yet, she writes. Will you be just as determined when you wash up on some deserted island, disoriented and bloody and ragged and beaten and staring into the horizon with no sign of rescue? Wow, she was a poet and didn't she even know it? I love that. So she said, so again, she says, you're determined. So what? This kind of reminds me of a podcast I did last year called So Much Passion, So Much Purpose. So what? You know, you could be passionately broke. She's saying, so you're determined, so you don't give up. So what? You know, does that really mean anything until you've been tested? As she says, you haven't been racing through shark-infested waters yet. Will you be just as determined when you wash up on some deserted island, disoriented and bloody and ragged and beaten and staring into the horizon with no sign of rescue? Now, here's where her advice comes in. She says, shift your focus away from what you want or $1 billion, as she says, as she elaborates on. So shift away your focus from what you want and get deeply, intensely curious about what the world wants and needs. Now, I want you to think about that. She says, shift your focus away from wanting $1 billion and get deeply, intensely curious about what the world wants and needs. So stop focusing on the money. Start focusing on what the world wants and needs, how you can create value ultimately. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? How many of you guys have heard me talk about dollars following value, right? And following the value you create, looking for a way to solve problems and create solutions in the world. This is what she's saying. Then she says, ask yourself what you have the potential to offer that is so unique and compelling and helpful that no computer could replace you. No one could outsource you. No one could steal your product and make it better and then club you into oblivion. Not literally. Then develop that potential. Choose one thing and become a master of it. Then choose a second thing and become a master of that. Now, I want to stop here for just a second, what she's saying here. So she's saying, look for where you have potential to offer something that is so unique and compelling and helpful that no computer could replace you. No one can outsource you. No one can steal your product and make it better and then club you into oblivion, you know, metaphorically speaking. So think about it. Like, what can you make that's so unique and compelling and helpful that no one could replace you? Now, this is a question that a lot of people get hung up on. Even my own clients will say, okay, Chris, I've got a business, but man, I'm really looking for that niche. Like, what is it that can really, really, you know, get myself into a sweet spot, right, so to speak, somewhere where you create value no one else can. I love that she didn't just say find that one thing. She did say identify that one thing, but then choose a second thing. So choose that one thing and master it. Then choose a second thing and master that. This is a lot like what we talked about with find your divine genius. You know, it's how do we take a combination of all your strengths and then master those things, become very, very good at those things. That's even just the fact that you are naturally already there. But how can you take it and make it a little bit better? How can you master it a little bit more, get a little bit better in the fact that you're one of the best in that one area anyways, but then you throw in that second curveball, so to speak. You throw that in, and now you've got something that's so unique no one can match it. No one can touch it because no one has that same combination. You know, I think just two is a great way to start. Eventually, you're going to master several things. You know, it might be like 3 to 5 things, maybe more, that you start to really master. The next thing you know, there's no replacing you. And reality is that no one person can be replaced. Now, we're talking from a professional sense. I also want you to think for yourself in a personal standpoint too. Even if you don't work at all, and when I say work, I don't mean like working for a job or working for a business. Even if you do none of those things, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you're someone who, you know, maybe you're just learning. You know, maybe you're going to school or whatever it might be. You know, don't think of it, because the reality is you can bless lives in ways that no one else can. And this is a great blueprint, a great way to focus on that. So no matter what your life circumstance is right now, find ways to do exactly what she's saying. You know, even if it's not something you could create monetarily, I'm sure you could probably say, you know, what are ways I can help people? What ways I can serve people that I encounter on a daily basis? What can I master in my life that could be a great value to them? And what you'll realize too is that whether you want to or not, there'll probably be a point where people will want to pay you. Or at least they're willing to offer. So focus on those two things. Now, here's what I love what she says. This is why you want to master at least two things. She says, when you become a master of two worlds, say, and she's giving an example here, say engineering and business, you bring them together in a way that will introduce hot ideas to each other so that they can have idea sex, quote unquote, and make idea babies that no one has seen before. And B, create a competitive advantage because you can move between worlds, speak both languages, connect the tribes, mash the elements to spark fresh creative insight until you wake up with the epiphany that changes your life. So here's what she says. So break these two down now. So master two worlds. So she said master those two worlds, like engineering and business. So you bring them together in a way that introduces these great ideas to each other that, like they say, can have quote-unquote idea sex and make idea babies that no one has seen before. Now, I've seen this to be true as well. With the whole cash flow process, what I was able to do, one thing that was really tough is, one, I took the cash flow, which nobody was really addressing cash flow. Now, people were addressing from a scarcity point of view of budgeting, maybe. But that was just one little aspect. They weren't taking the full picture, which I was taking more from a financial advising world, you know, where we're trying to look at everything, not just the traditional financial advising, but more specialized training, things like where you see things like with LEAP and Truth Concepts and things like that, like bringing these kind of things together to see the big picture and then combine that with cash flow. And the next thing you know, I have something that's very unique that nobody's really doing because they're not focusing and centering around how do we create production today, not saving for years from now, which even some of those good programs would still not talk about today as much. They would focus on tomorrow. And so when you bring those two worlds together, it's amazing. And even in some ways, I kind of create three worlds because I'm really good at retaining a lot of information and taking these interesting ideas where people wouldn't draw certain correlations. And I like to draw correlations from things that don't seem to connect, but they really do. There's a cause and effect relationship, or at least a corollary relationship with them. And so when you bring these together, this is where you start to create something really cool. And like I said, it creates a competitive advantage. And it also allows you to move between worlds. So they said you can speak both languages and connect the tribes, match the elements, create, spark fresh creative insight until you wake up with the epiphany that changes your life. I love that because it's not only about the idea, but it's also about how you're able to connect, to lead, to communicate as well and bring it in a way. I thought Steve Jobs did an amazing job of this, where he was able to take something that was could have been very complex and hard, and he made it very simple, especially for those in the tech world, very simple, maybe overly simple. But he liked to try to bring the worlds together. He would bring that marketing along with technology and find out what people want and speak the language of what the user wanted, not so much what the technology experts wanted. He wanted to know what the average user wanted, and he was looking to fill that need and did a great job with it, better than almost anybody. And then even created a whole tribe and even was able to create loyal people regardless of the quality of the products. He created amazingly loyal fans of those Apple products. And so it's kind of the same thing here, is what can you do to kind of create these things and bring two worlds together? Now, she said business and engineering, but you may not have those two skills. You know, for example, I've seen people with health and wellness, but also they had a lot of things with like mindset and perspective training over there because they realize that health and wellness starts with a mindset, a perspective shift, and even maybe stories going on. So people have almost like this, you know, emotional coaching of going along with this physical type of training and bring those two worlds together and they create some great results. You know, I've seen other people in business where the sales standpoint and combine it with business coaching, you know, or even people with body language combining that with personal development, or I've seen other people with body language combining that with sales and things like that. Like there's so many niches that you can create just by combining two worlds together. And when you combine two together, this is when it gets really tough for anybody to try to compete with you at that level. And this is where it's not competition anymore. It's more of, hey, how do we leverage each other's abilities and talents? Because when you find people like that doing the same thing, you want to leverage them too. You don't want to say, I want to compete with that, because you can't. You don't want to compete with those people. You want to compete in the area that you're best in. Use your unique abilities and gifts to be able to serve people in a way that no one else can. So anyways, I'll continue on with this, and then we'll kind of go from there. She says, the world doesn't throw $1 billion at a person because the person wants it or works so hard they feel they deserve it. The world does not care what you want or deserve. Amen. That's all I can say to that. No one cares. You're not entitled to it, and no one cares if you want it. You know, nobody cares about how much passion you have, although they do a little bit. Nobody cares about how much you love something. Nobody cares about what you want, what your goals are. They want to know what's in it for them. How are you going to serve them? That's what I would add to this. She then continues, the world gives you money in exchange for something it perceives to be of equal or greater value. Think about this. The world gives you money in exchange for something that it perceives to be of equal or greater value. I would actually eliminate the equal value because the world does not give you something that they believe is equal. They would never be compelled to purchase it. They only want something that's of greater value, even if it's just a teeny bit greater. It has to be a little bit greater than what they're paying or they won't pay it. But very insightful, nonetheless, what she's saying right here. The world gives you money in exchange for something it perceives to be of equal or greater value. Think about what she says here. I love that she uses the word perceives. It doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. Does the world perceive? Do they see it as being of greater value? This is absolutely essential, because when I get people that I coach with they'll say, Chris, what do you, this is what I'm working on. And I want to be able to make more money with this. And I'll say, okay, well, this is great. Now, here's one of two things that might happen when somebody gets stuck. Either one, the person themselves doesn't perceive that they're of greater value. Therefore, they charge very little and they need to charge more. Two, I get people that they know it's of greater value, but nobody else does. To solve this, what needs to happen is that they actually need to better communicate that value. They need to better show it, create more urgency about it. I just had somebody I talked to last week where this was the case, where they'd say, like, this is what they're getting. And they said, yeah, I don't know if it might be too much money. And I said, absolutely not. In fact, I'm surprised it's as cheap as it is. And I said, no, like, you communicate it this way and this way. And I just kind of started explaining for maybe 15, 20 seconds what I saw was valuable about that idea. She looked at me and said, wow, well, you say it that way. That's what I need to make it sound like. And I said, well, yeah, I'm looking from my perspective of what I want in my life. And that's what you need to do too, is look from their perspective too. What is it they really see? And you'll find out that it's actually pretty amazing. You know, so if you don't perceive it as great value, that's one thing. But if you don't communicate it to other people, how can they know it's of great value? And sometimes you have to teach the value. You know, I had a marketing coach that told me that you have to teach people how to pay you. You need to teach them why it's so important and where the money comes from, or even like how that is really big. In fact, that should probably be a show in and of itself, just talking about how to teach people how to find the money to pay you, right? It's great stuff there. So anyways, I want to really delve down to, when she says that the world gives you something for exchange, it perceives to be of equal or greater value, or as I added, it really of just greater value. That's when the world gives you money. Then she continues and says, something that transforms an aspect of the culture, reworks a familiar story, or introduces a new one, alters the way people think about the category, and make use of it in daily life. There is no roadmap, no blueprint for this. A lot of people, let me go back to that last one right there. So something that transforms an aspect of the culture, you know, she's talking about a value here. So something that transforms an aspect of the culture, reworks a familiar story, or introduces a new one. Notice she says it doesn't have to be a new idea. It might be a rework of a familiar story, something that's a fresh perspective on a very old story or familiar story, or introduces a brand new one. It could be either. It could also alter the way people think about the category and make use of it in their daily lives. You know, can you teach them how they can actually use it in their daily lives that they wouldn't know because maybe it's never existed before or it's never been used quite that way? There's so many ways you can do it, but that's where it's got to be something that really hooks people in a way that does become unique. This is why I make such a stance against financial advising, you know, the traditional financial advice that you get, because it hasn't worked. So we got to take something. And the thing is, all the ideas I'm teaching you aren't really new. I just reworked them in a way that did. I combined these different elements. I took some things from different areas and different influences, and I combined them together to really draw some conclusions to say, hey, look, there's common threads here. Maybe a lot of the world didn't notice it, but I see it. And I've seen it in my own experience as well, which adds to that cup, so to speak, of value. And the next thing you know, we have something that's very unique and very, very fresh. And that's why every radio interview I'm doing, I'll get people, whether it's during the interview, like right there live on the air, or afterwards, people say, wow, Chris, what you have is just a fresh, different perspective about money. I love it. Like, it's a very positive perspective, very abundant perspective. And my whole point is, yeah, that's the point. That's what it's supposed to be, you know, but so many people don't do it. And that's where you create a niche. That's where you start to get people wanting to support you, wanting to help you. And it starts to carry on its own. Now I love what she's talking about right here, because there's some really good advice in this last section here. She says, there is no roadmap, no blueprint for this. A lot of people will give you a lot of advice, and most of it will be bad. And a lot of it will be good and sound, but you'll have to figure out how it doesn't apply to you because you're coming from an unexpected angle. So remember, she's talking about you're coming from an unexpected angle because you're combining these two elements together. So people are going to try to give you advice. And even if it's good advice, you have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. And I've learned this from my own experience, that you do want to take advice from those that are experts. You really do, especially those that have done it, especially if they're in a similar field. And even those that maybe aren't, that might have a fresh perspective outside of the field. But I've seen that a lot of times, you know, when you get advice, sometimes you really have to trust your gut. You really have to follow that whisper in your heart and ask yourself, is this really something I should be doing, or should I take this path? And I've noticed that, you know, when I look at my own heart, you know, I really start to feel and say, you know what, you know, people give me this advice and it makes logical sense, but I'm really feeling compelled to go this direction. You know, I've learned to do it and do it quickly. And it's amazing what happens. And then also it's fun too, because a lot of times if you're getting advice and maybe everybody's giving the same advice, it might be because that advice has been so commonplace that maybe it's not the right way to go, depending on who you are. Sometimes it is, and it's great. Do not get me wrong. You do want to follow people that you want to have guide you along that process. People have the right perspective. And I do agree that people need to have an abundant perspective when they're coaching you through this. But make sure that even though you're getting a lot of advice, you still follow your heart. And then she says this. She says, and you'll be doing it alone until you develop the charisma and credibility to attract the talent you need to come with you. Have courage. You will need it. And good luck. You'll need that too. So think of what she says. She says, and you'll be doing this alone until you develop the charisma and credibility to attract the talent you need to come with you. I absolutely know what this feels like. I remember the first time I started Money Ripples, even though I had some people supporting me, I felt so alone, especially because I left a company that had, you know, a bigger partnership. We had been together for years, and all of a sudden it felt like I was all by myself in my home office, you know, reaching out to people, recording things and things like that. I felt like I was losing connection with people, and it drove me nuts, especially when I'm more of an extrovert. You know, and here's the thing is that you will be doing it alone. There will be times you'll feel like you're just trudging through by yourself, and you feel like nobody supports you. Even when they do, you'll feel like you're in this alone. However, when you really do have the charisma to attract and credibility to start attracting the talent you need to come, it's amazing what happens. You know, I have a friend to actually put on events, and I'm amazed when people can put on events and attract hundreds of people. And she came out of what seemed like obscurity. And in fact, she has now what's probably like the largest Christ-centered energy healing conference that's in the entire country right now. Maybe the world. I don't know. I can't claim that. But the largest conference I've ever seen that are Christ-centered energy healers. And it's amazing. She'll attract people that are well over 1,000 people, attendees, to come to this between her and the people that are there. And just incredible. And she does it again and again. She did it when she was like 9 months pregnant. I'm just amazed at what she's able to accomplish, and I know she's starting to she's really seeing it too, and I can tell you, I can guarantee if we were to ask her, maybe we should have her as a guest on the show, but if you were to ask her in the beginning, she probably felt a little bit alone, like she was just, you know, a little bit, just she had a vision, she wanted to create that vision, and slowly but surely more and more people start becoming attracted to support her in it, and you know, that's the cool thing, and there will be times even when you're seeing some success. You might still feel a little bit that way. You might still feel like you are doing it alone. And that's one of the things of being a leader, is that you will feel like that many times. But when you really stand by those principles and by that leadership and you start to really move forward, you will be amazed at what can be accomplished. You'll be amazed at who will start to follow you and the people you attract, especially if you want to attract the right people. You'll be very pleased with that, and you'll be happy that there'll be people that want to move your crusade forward, that want to move those passions and be able to help you in supporting the world and blessing people's lives in ways that no one else can. That is the power behind what she's teaching here. So this is a short, you know, this is short advice. I know there's only a few paragraphs I read here, but I'm telling you, the wisdom behind it is so deep. So I recommend you go and look at this. In the show notes, you'll see a link to this article. Ponder on this and really understand the perspective she's coming from as you hear this here. Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week as we share more great information and wonderful, wonderful things to help you live with greater abundance, a better quality of life and lifestyle. You'll have more cash flow and more freedom, and ultimately be able to live in a world where you work and you live because you want to and because you love your life, not because you have to. This is Chris Miles here, Cash Flow Expert. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.